Those of us in climates where we get cold weather are probably really feeling it right now. Where I am, temperatures have already had wind chills below 0 Fahrenheit, and it has been cold and sometimes snowy and icy. I wanted to pull out an episode from earlier this year where we talked about hoof care and trimming in the cold. I'm just coming back from the AAEP, or American Association of Equine Practitioners Conference, which was held in Denver, Colorado this year. And just coming back from this conference, I am met with freezing temperatures, and it felt like a great time to pull this episode back out. We have some really good episodes planned in the coming months, so I hope that this will tide you over until we can get to some of the new material. Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com. A special thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Cavallo. For our Humble Hoof listeners, they are offering 15% off their Cavallo Trek hoof boots using the coupon code HRN at checkout. The Trek is the world's most popular and versatile hoof boot and Cavallo's toughest trail boot, while also doubling as an option for therapy or rehab. The front closure system makes it easily adaptable to various hoof shapes, and the TPU upper design allows for maximum strength while minimizing weight for the comfort and ease of movement for your horse. These are recommended by vets and trainers and also loved as transport boots by barrel racers, show jumpers, dressage riders, and everyone in between. Again, for 15% off a pair of Treks, use the code HRN at checkout at cavallo-inc.com. 'Tis the season in my area for really cold temperatures, and I know I'm not the only one who struggles with trimming and working with horses in the cold weather. So I figured that I would reach out to Deanna Quinn, who is a hoof care provider in Alaska, to see what she does to keep warm when it's cold out, because she deals with it a lot more of the year than I do. I know that not everybody deals with cold weather that listens to this podcast, but if you want to hear some of the hardships that we struggle with, you can tune in. All right, so why don't we start, and can you tell us a little bit about how you got into hoof care?
Sure. So my own horse was just slightly off. Not that anybody else would notice it, but I did. And I was really started asking some questions, and there wasn't anything really wrong to pinpoint, but a farrier friend had kind of, I was chatting with her, and she kind of pointed out like mapping and breakover, and I was like, wait a minute, this is quantifiable. Where do I sign up? And within probably 6 months, I had given my notice and gone to farrier school at ELPO, and here I am 5 years later.
Oh wow, that's awesome. And so you're in Alaska?
Yes, I'm in Palmer, Alaska, and I have clients that range as far as Wasilla and also Anchorage, so within an hour's travel at least.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I've never been to Alaska, but I've heard that obviously, you know, it's a very cold area, right? Is it cold all year?
No, pretty much April through September is pretty tolerable. And then it starts getting cold.
So what's the temperature range like in the warmer months versus the colder months?
I would say we had a couple warm summers here, but usually between 50 and 70, we might get the, you know, unseasonably warm week here or two there in June or July, but yeah, usually around the 70s.
Okay, that's not bad. And yeah. Then in the winter, what's it like?
Oh, okay. So that can range from, and we've had a really odd year this year. We had more like 30s and 20s than usual for this time of year. We've had very little snowfall for this time of year. But this time of year right now, January, we're heading into January and February are typically very cold. We have a lot of wind storms typically. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out with not a whole lot of snow. Today, right now, it's 4 degrees at my house.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yikes. And that's obviously Fahrenheit for those that listen that are in an area that uses Celsius.
Yes, Fahrenheit.
Yeah. So today, right now at my house, it's 29 degrees Fahrenheit. And that to me, well, although it says right now my feels like is 13 degrees Fahrenheit. So it feels very cold to me today.
You've got some wind chill too.
Yeah. But it's not, you know, 4 degrees like where you are. So. Oh my
God. Yeah. And it's windy here too. So on top of that, add some wind chill in. We are expecting snow soon. So it's going to warm up and I'm planning to get caught up on everybody I've had to postpone the last week or two due to negative temperatures.
Yeah. So that's something I want to talk about because I will, you know, I honestly can't stand the heat more than the cold. Typically I can find,
I'm the same.
I can layer, you know, clothing and add, you know, hand warmers or toe warmers or whatever. But in the summer it's like, you know, it can be just so miserable trimming in the heat. And I'm from Massachusetts, so we have all four seasons, and it doesn't get usually unbearably hot. So I know that people can adapt to it. Like, I have friends in California that trim in, like, 100-plus degrees. So I typically will trim around, and this might not be possible for you, I guess, where you are, but my trim range is, like, 20 degrees Fahrenheit through, like, until, like, 89 degrees, like, 90 degrees Fahrenheit is what I'll trim in. But then if it's below 20 all day, or if it's above 90 all day, then typically I'll try to work my schedule to either reschedule or do it at a time where in the summer it's cooler, like early morning or something like that. But what do you do for times when it's going to be really cold? Do you just go out and work?
No, nobody has fun.
Yeah.
My clients are primarily either trims or you know, barefoot clients or glue on composites, and neither one of those are particularly fun when it's cold. So 10 degrees is usually my cutoff point. And there's exceptions, of course. Today I've got an indoor facility that's heated that I can glue in, so I'm really thankful to be able to keep working and do that today. Same situation with Sunday. I have a warm environment to do a glue on. But for everybody else, actually Wednesday or Thursday, I had a client that it was 2 degrees at their house, -2 on their weather station that they've got on their barn. And so I'm like, no, nobody has fun at that temperature. And even, you know, I don't know how many heat guns you have, and there's no way they could have heated their barn in time for me to, you know, effectively do a good set. So we just postpone it. And so there's some wiggle room with scheduling and postponing. And I really check my weather app a lot to kind of see, okay, how is the week looking? So between my part-time job at the veterinary hospital, large animal veterinary hospital, and my farrier work, I can usually kind of wiggle things around and get folks taken care of within a week or two of bad weather.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And so then what, is there anything else that you do? I mean, other than just like adding layers, is there anything you do if you know it's going to be on the colder end of what you trim in?
Yep. I will bring my tools inside so they're not sitting out in the truck and cold. That makes a huge difference. My hands are really sensitive to the temperature. And so I find that really helps out a lot too. I stock up on toe warmers, and I'll even put them in my gloves. Then I can also stick them to my shoes, which the hand warmers don't stick. So having the toe warmers handy is nice because I can put them in the backs of my gloves. And then I can also stick one in my pocket and keep my phone alive in the cold so I can get photos afterwards if I remember to. But a big part of it is keeping the tools warm. I've got some new shelving I installed in my house. And so right inside my front door, I can see all of my inventory and my tools, and I can prep some things for the next day. But yeah, having the tools warm helps a lot too.
Yeah. And as you said that, I should absolutely start doing that. Because one thing that I've noticed, because I have a truck with a bed cover, a cap, that's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. And my tools, but also my gloves, because I wear gloves and I keep gloves in the bed of my truck for trimming, and they will be so cold if I just pull it all out. So what I've started doing is taking my gloves and putting it on my dashboard and then putting the defrost on with the heat. Mm-hmm. And then it's so nice just to have them like nice and warm when I trim. But I didn't even think about the tools. And it's true. Like sometimes it feels like your fingers are glass when you're trying to close the nippers.
Yeah. I'm like, I gotta focus on this foot, not my hands.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it is nice that you have some options for some heated work areas because, you know, I'm sure all of us have places where we're trimming horses outside and they don't have any, you know, great warm shelter.
Yeah, and the horses don't like it, and the people usually don't typically like it either, and right. We're all happier if it happens during warmer weather.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the other thing, is that normally, like, once I get moving and once I get going, I can warm up a bit, but the owner has to stand there mm-hmm. in the freezing cold, and sometimes I'll hear their teeth chattering, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I know that I'm not as cold as you are right now, because you're just standing there holding a horse.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And so,
same.
In terms of other aspects of winter hoof care, do you, for horses that you keep barefoot in the winter, do you change your trim at all or adjust it for times when you'll have frozen ground?
Yep. I'll usually make sure there's plenty of clearance so that they're not going to get bruised on frozen poops that happen, you know, almost instantaneously. The environment can really cause some bruising on the feet. So either that or, you know, set the client up, get them going with some boots so that they can add some protection. But that's a big commitment, too. You're going to come out here every day, switch the boots around. And so it's kind of a toss-up between, okay, are we going to just go the barefoot route and, you know, leave a little bit of clearance or go for the boots? So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do the same thing in terms of having boots on the ready. And then I put, like, quick studs in the bottom if I'm worried about mm-hmm. ice. But I think what you were talking about with your climate recently is kind of what we get, or what's become normal around here, is that we'll have a little bit of a mud season in the fall. And then if we don't get snow cover, the frozen ground can be really, like, sharper than rock. I mean, it can feel harder than rock. And so it's
absolutely,
it seems like it's harder for the horses to move on than even just gravel, you know?
I agree. I completely agree. Especially with, okay, so that previous season was muddy. And so then now you've maybe got a caudal foot that's not as healthy as it should be, or there's some thrush going on, or, you know, something that didn't quite get addressed through the summer. And then it's exacerbated by the mud. And then now that compromised foot is on the worst footing possible, the frozen ground.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where, that's why I want some owners to have boots ready if they don't have horses that are in some kind of, you know, shoe setup, because that is where I find them just moving so uncomfortably on the frozen rutted ground, and they have nowhere else they can go. And a lot of times it needs to be a boot setup. Like, I'll use the Clow boots or even like a Cavallo boot where it has a firmer sole and it's a true, like, rehab boot. So they have that clearance off the ground, but
oh, nice.
It can be tough. Yeah. And in terms of trim, when you're talking about clearance, I have noticed that too. I have had to leave a little bit more wall on a handful of horses that I do to keep them comfortable. And what I've noticed is that the hard part is leaving more wall keeps them more comfortable. But then I have sometimes where that wall will chip if the owner hasn't been diligent about diet, or if, you know, the horse has some metabolic issues, they just don't have a strong wall.
It's a thin line. It's a very thin line.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where, you know, I try to go for function over appearance, because I can't cripple the horses just to, you know, relieve, like, a mm-hmm. little, you know, superficial chip. But something else yep. that I've found that helps, as long as, like, I'll leave a little bit more bar for traction, as long as the bar isn't, like, laid over or ending up to, you know, spread
cause
out.
An abscess.
Right. As long as it's not, like, crazy weight bearing, I'll tend to leave a little bit more height to them. I don't know if you've ever seen that help with traction.
Excellent. Yep. Sometimes it does. And I'll leave some ratty frogs out there too, to, you know, just give them as much support as possible in a bad environment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was, I talked to Matthew Jackson and Robbie Richardson and Mark Johnson, were three UK farriers that I had in the podcast a few years ago. And one thing that Matthew had said, I think it was how he leaves the frog, and that seems to help so much with comfort, especially by the apex of the frog. And I've trialed doing that more when the ground is hard or frozen, and I have seen a difference in comfort. And I will, you know, try to clean up the central sulcus on most frogs to make sure it doesn't trap thrush.
Yes. I like to make sure they've got the breakover, so there's not, like, if they have to be like a cat or be careful on the ice, that their toe's not going to get in the way of them, you know, moving either. But, you know, just giving them plenty of clearance, but like you said, not let it get too far out of hand so that it causes any, you know, damage to the hoof wall that's well, it's trying to trim itself in the winter.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard because those horses that we're rehabbing often have poor wall quality because they're just, you know, mm-hmm. going through all the rehab steps and the new growth hasn't hit the ground yet. So,
yeah. Yeah, those ones can be a little tricky.
Yeah. And so in terms of your like glue on setups, and obviously you talked about making sure that the glue is warm enough. What else do you adjust for that kind of stuff in this weather?
For that kind of stuff, I'll pack up my glue stuff in the morning. I'll put it in an insulated bag, and that bag has a heating pad in it. So as soon as I get on site, I can plug it in and crank it all the way up and have my shoes, the glue, the tips, and usually I try to stick the dim and the hoof clay in there as well so that everything is warm as possible. And I'll just pull out like one shoe, kind of get a good fit on everything. And then when we're ready to glue, I'll just pull everything out at once. And for those that stand nicely, I can usually get everything done with one glue tip and, you know, kind of just go for it. But if it's on the colder side or we've got somebody who's a little wiggly, we got to do it one by one. So I'll have to stick the glue and the tips and everything back in the bag to warm up while we kind of stabilize and get that next foot ready.
Yeah. And what's your like typical go-to? I mean, I'm sure it's different for every horse, but what's your go-to setup for traction in the winter for a glue-on setup?
I really like the quick studs. They're easy to apply and they're not too invasive as far as like if a horse was to lay down and really get kicking or something like that, they're not going to tear themselves up. And then I can adjust the number of studs on the shoe for each horse. I've got one client who's got kind of a steeper paddock. And it can get icy. And so, and they also do a lot of trail riding too, that can get a little bit slippery because of the other four-wheelers and off-road vehicles that they share trails with. So I'll sometimes use 6 to 8 studs per shoe for that horse. And he gets, you know, tons of breakover and everything. I'm always, you know, trying to be cognizant of, okay, is the stud adding more leverage?
Right.
Placement can be very important. So, but he's been very comfortable and, actually I'm gluing him this afternoon and I think we're going to bump up to 8 studs just because of the amount of ice in his environment.
Yeah. That always makes me so nervous. And even with, like I said, the therapy boots, I'll add I'll add like, you know, 4 to 6 quick studs to make sure that they have traction, because that's my biggest fear, is putting something on their foot that I applied and then they're not able to grip with it. So yeah, I think mm-hmm. the quick studs are a really great option too. And I totally understand, you know, I always think about that too, of where I'm placing the studs and am I accidentally like adding a wedge or, you know, or maybe I want, you know, where am I putting them and how far am I adding them in and things.
Yeah.
Because like yeah, you know, the height can add leverage too. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I pointed that out.
I also will do for, you know, cold environments with gluing, I've got a heat gun that I carry with me and an extension cord so that no matter where that horse ends up standing, once we're glued, I can still pop out the heat gun and kind of get close to them and warm the area around their feet. And that was a little tip I picked up from you early on. And that seems to really help the glue cure and kind of get a good stabilization on the set before they get going.
Yeah, yeah. I really love that Epona has the shoe options that have the carbide tips. So I used to do a lot of those in winter when I had a lot of horses in glue-ons. It's tough because the direct glue and you have to hold the foot up for, you know, X amount of minutes.
Yes.
And, you know, like you were saying, the glue just takes so much longer when it's cold to set, even with the fast set. And so I would bust out the heat gun and just constantly move it and try to get mm-hmm. the glue to just, you know, set a little bit faster to give the horse some relief.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. We had one that wasn't setting up last week, and so we had to pull the heat gun out, and it only held for a couple weeks. That's when I got our reset on Sunday, but it's kind of an unusual situation, so we'll get her taken care of.
But yeah, I struggle so much with the cold weather, but not as much as you guys do.
Oh my gosh. A wiggly horse in cold weather. And then if your stand is slipping to you, I've thought about putting traction on my stand, but there's environments where it needs to not damage the floor. That's very, very, very important. And so until I can get 2 stands, one to stud and one to not, I'm decided to just, you know, if it's too slippery for my stand to be still, we're not in a good spot. We need to find a better spot is kind of my go-to. Like it either needs to be flatter or we need more traction, because with the snow and ice and, you know, sometimes with a non-cooperative horse or one that's quote cooperating but not really cooperating, then my stand will slide around a little bit, and that can be tricky too.
Is that like the ground is icy or is what?
What's yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, the ground is icy, or the snow is compacted in a way that it's just super slippery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's so funny. I always wish every single year that we just get like a good snow cover and then it just lasts all winter, and then the horses don't have to worry about, you know, discomfort on frozen mud, because that's usually what I was saying, the most uncomfortable mm-hmm. thing for them. But then last year we did have a good long streak where we had, it wasn't a ton of snow, but we had some snow, and it didn't, you know, it stayed frozen and it didn't melt, but then it compacted down. And I swear that was just like, it was so scary because then it was like slippery. And so, yes. You know, and I have, my whole property is all hills. So then I'm booting studs just to make sure that they have traction. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this isn't better than like soft.
Yeah. I find is areas where if the horse is going to be in an area where there's any plowing happening, that will be super icy for them. And so I always try to chat about that as soon as I can, either with new clients or new horses coming up or anything like that. Like if there's plowing happening, you're going to want traction. It just becomes so, so, so slippery.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have a lot of track systems up there. You know, we have my horses on a track system here. And what we've learned just in our 2 years of having this place is that we can't plow the track, or we can't even really snow blow the track unless we snow blow it and leave a few inches of snow.
So, oh, good to know.
So because if you snow blow it so that it's pretty flat, then like you're saying, it gets icy. It gets really slick. Yeah. So what we try to do, I don't know if you've tried this, but we'll snow blow it and I'll have my husband have a high enough setting where there's like 3 or 4 inches of snow. And so then the horses walk through it and have hoof prints, and then it's a little bit of traction for them.
Little crunchy in there for them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's a whole different ball game in the winter. It's like you have to anticipate all this and think about it. And it's almost, in my opinion, it can be kind of hard to rehab hooves in the winter, because you're thinking so much about the terrain and in the ice and things like that. But mm-hmm. one positive is I do find that the feet slow down a bit in growth. And so then you can make more adjustments to the trim, but
yep.
it's mm-hmm. always tough, because then you're trying to not make them sore or do too much and that kind of thing.
Yep. It's a juggle there for sure to find that, like, please horse, tell me how fast you're going to grow your feet this month.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it gets tricky.
But for horses transitioning out, I just had a horse transition out of composites to barefoot this fall. And I told the owner, you know, I'll be back in 2 to 3 weeks to trim. And I think that was probably a really short cycle, but I didn't get any objections. And, you know, did like a trim, but I, you know, things were hardening up and left plenty of room for comfort for this horse. And then it was like that second trim that foot just like was like, it just was perfect. It was absolutely beautiful. I was able to trim off everything that needed to go, and the capsule was nice and, you know, healthy and compact, and it just looked awesome. I just loved it.
Oh, that's great.
I was in Tacoma in July and trimmed my daughter's horse, and she's got an acre or two by herself. It's mostly mowed grass, but there are some, there's like a gravel pathway that she has to cross to come up to the gate or to come up to socialize or whatever. I just trimmed her when I was in Tacoma again, and she didn't have her normal farrier come out in between. So this is 5 months that this horse went. I did not even need nippers or anything. She wore her foot so beautifully, and she lands laterally, so she had some distortion to take care of and balance to correct, but I was like, oh my goodness, this foot looks amazing. Anyways, I was really, really surprised and very pleased that it looked. Yes, I was really pleased it looked so good. And then in July when I had trimmed it, like there was some distortion to take care of because she was growing, you know, she's in a big growth stage there. And then I had trimmed her in April as well, and there was a lot to take care of. So it was just so interesting to see that foot over the past year just change, and then just how nice it looked at 5 months. Just, I thought I was gonna have to go to the farrier supply down there and get some protection for her.
Yeah. Oh, was she okay? Oh no, yeah.
Oh,
she,
yeah.
Sorry, it wasn't a big trim. Right, right.
Yeah. Absolutely sound, but like I was given like a warning, like, you know, you were the last one to trim her, mom.
Oh my goodness,
and I was like,
so funny.
Oh, you never know what you're gonna see.
Right. I know, and here, because we have the tracks and we have all different kinds of footing, there are some horses, like my own gelding basically self trims, but like you're mentioning, like there's, it's usually in the spring where I start to look at his feet and I'm like, oh my goodness, you actually have foot. You know, extra foot.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of the year, it's, he just does a really nice job moving over the different terrain. And I do think that the snow can be pretty abrasive too. So in the winter, I mean, he keeps it pretty worn. And I think that coupled with the fact that they are slower growing, but then come spring, it's like, you know, they just, he just shoots out so much foot. And
yeah, we see that here too.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, I know that there's probably some more scientific way to explain it or what is going on. I don't know. But I tend to think that maybe they slow down their growth in the winter because their body is, you know, conserving energy to keep themselves warm. But then I see people say that they are horses slow growth in winter when they're in the, like, Florida and it's like 70. So what do I know?
But. Yeah. Yeah. I also wonder, like, is it conservation of the body that's causing it? The light, you know, is a big, huge factor here. And so sometimes I attribute it to that, but.
That's true too. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Maybe it's just the opposite growth of the winter coat. If the body's sending nutrients to a winter coat and mm-hmm. it's, that's light related, like you were saying. And then, you know, obviously there are horses in Florida. I was just down there and there are plenty of clipped horses, so they must grow some coat in the winter.
Yeah.
We have all the different weather, so we see it all, and you know, we definitely have the big thick winter coats up here.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any last minute tips or anything for owners or trimmers that you would want them to kind of focus on or think about in cold weather that might help them? Or
a good place to stand that's not slippery, that's flat. I love that. Just being ready for it. There's times when a younger client, you know, had a big old coat on but no hat or gloves or anything, and that doesn't last very long. So, you know, there's some switch off there with family members to get her horse done. So just come out with, you know, all geared up and ready for it. And then certainly the flexibility in the schedule really helps, just to keep everybody safe and comfortable when it's too cold to move forward with an appointment. Yeah. And everyone's been really accommodating and very understanding and flexible about that too, because I don't think they want to stand outside at 2 degrees, and it's just not a good time to glue at 2 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's that would be insane. I feel like it might not even set up at all. I can't imagine.
We have done a horse at 8 degrees, but we had a barn. It wasn't heated, but it did protect us from the wind, and we had heat guns and everything going, and it was a situation where we had to protect the horse, and so it needed to happen, but not my typical situation at 8 degrees. But
yeah, right,
we could still do it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you again so much. I really appreciate you being willing to chat with me.
Thanks for having me, Alicia, and thanks for all you do.
Oh, yeah, of course. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks, Alicia.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I always say that I'm slightly more hoof-obsessed than the average person, and chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too, so we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.